This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. And we're talking about markets in front of a WASDE report. This is a World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report. So we'll talk about that in a moment. First off, Alex Mead with StoneX talking about the lumber market.
Right now, I would say the mortgage rates really are not having a significant impact because we're having this really kind of range-bound trade. It's more about the expectation of what we think that the Fed's going to do, and the commodity funds are the ones that are driving the volatility in the prices. I will say that, you know, supply is that slow-moving oil tanker out in the ocean, and demand is that speedboat. So when demand and interest rates can come off, you will see demand outpace supply, and we will have an undersupplied market.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, let's look at grains.
Well, a relatively quieter start to this Monday compared to the last couple weeks, which were actually kind of the opposites, right? 2 weeks ago on a Monday, ended up with a decent little move to the downside, and then last Monday, decent little move to the upside, and then this Monday so far, a little bit on the quieter side. Market pretty much relatively steady in corn, plus or minus in the winter wheat contracts, and a little bit soft in the spring wheat, and then soybeans gaining a bit there too, although bean oil, bit of a standout. My guess is primarily due to a little uptick in the energy prices based on weekend developments with what's going on with Iran. But if we just take them one by one and zoom out here a bit, if we're looking at the soybean futures, really on the plus side of the equation, lending a bid when the market does fall off is the fact that we've got some decent demand out of China. I think that's been the primary bullish catalyst. After definitely some of the recent large purchases, USDA announced additional flash sales of about almost 240,000 metric tons of beans for 26-27. Private reports are also indicating some additional buying interest from China, so that is definitely a good thing. Working against the market a little bit is the favorable U.S. weather that keeps a bit of supply pressure on prices along with the exports pace, which has been adequate, but not strong. So I did mention the Chinese sales, which are great, and they're welcome. But net-net, when you look at how we're doing so far in the year, you know, we're not necessarily in the real strong side of the equation quite yet. So the shipments last week were slightly higher than the prior week, but remain below last year's pace. Recent average has been about a little over 13 million bushels per week. Year ago, comparable weekly average about 18.2, so significantly higher. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Cumulative soybean inspections are down about 18% year on year, and that's consistent with the USDA's expectation for a decline in the exports. The other thing, too, that we have to keep pay attention to is what's going down in South America. And they've got the supply side of the equation working against us. Also, Malaysian palm oil stocks, they rose to a five-month high of about 2.63 million metric tons. That's above year-ago levels and the five-year average. So obviously, higher palm inventories are going to create some kind of competition for soybean oil demand. Weather in Brazil remains mixed at the moment. You got warm and dry conditions continuing in the central and northern growing areas. Cooler conditions are affecting parts of southern Brazil and Argentina. So we'll keep an eye on the weather. And then of most importance, I'd say this week, and this not only applies to soybeans, but also corn and wheat, is the crop conditions report that's going to come out this afternoon. And then on Wednesday, we've got the WASDE report. And my takeaway, I'm not going to go through all the numbers. My takeaway at the moment is relative to the grain ending stocks for the 25-26 marketing year and the 26-27 marketing year. Relative to the previous USDA numbers, the market is basically penciling in lower grain ending stocks. So more on the bullish side of the equation. We'll see if that's already priced into the market. In terms of the production numbers for corn and soybeans here in the United States, pretty much I think the market is looking for modest declines at this point when it comes to the gross production numbers. And then for wheat production for the 26-27 marketing year, I think the market's leaning bullish. The previous number of the all wheat was 1,536,000,000 bushels, 1,536,000,000, and average trade guesstimate, as far as I can see right now, is about 1,525,000, so roughly about 11 million lower. In terms of the grain ending stocks, I won't go into the data here, but relative to the USDA's previous numbers for the world grain ending stocks, leaning on the bullish side of the equation, meaning less for corn, and you know, a little bit less for soybeans also, and the wheat market basically a little bit less also. So, you know, relative reductions, let's put it that way. And soybeans, and actually soybeans and wheat, you can almost call a push relative to the previous numbers. So we'll see how that all plays out. But turning our attention quickly to corn market and some of the variables there, the weather kind of keeping pressure on yield expectations, kind of like the soybean story. What is nice about corn, though, is that the export demand still provides some bullish support. Corn exports continue to outperform expectations. Weekly export inspections last week totaled about 1.74 million metric tons. That was above expectations of about 1.4 to 1.7. So beating the market's expectations. The cumulative export inspections are up around 25% year on year. Additionally, with corn comes the Black Sea supply concerns. That's also working its way into the wheat market, but nonetheless also affecting corn. And then there's thoughts at this point that there could be some demand increase globally. And one of the reasons is the corn crop production concerns out of Europe. The conditions have not been conducive. Only about, I think, 31% of France's corn is considered good to excellent. So that's just indicative of the struggles they've had in terms of the production. And then lastly, but not leastly, turning our attention to wheat. You've got the Black Sea export disruptions. I think that's been the primary bullish driver. Russia continues to target Ukrainian grain infrastructure, including export storage facilities at the Odessa port. Ukraine's export outlook has been reduced due to continued attacks on ports and logistical constraints. So clearly that issue seems to be not necessarily getting anywhere towards any kind of resolution, and being that that is a big supply area for wheat, that is obviously a problem. European crop problems also add support, so kind of like the corn story I just mentioned, European wheat production concerns remain a bullish factor. France continues to struggle with its poor crop conditions, so not only are the corn conditions lower, also, you know, the wheat conditions are kind of struggling there too. The one thing with the wheat, though, is export demand remains a concern. So even when the market gets some kind of rally, it's not met with some new buying enthusiasm. I mean, ideally, you'd want the world market to be buying on the highs, showing they got a heck of an appetite for wheat. But really what happens is it hits a pressure point and the market just kind of falls back, and then you might see the buyers come back in. So the export demand definitely remains as a concern. Weekly wheat inspections last week, about 421,000 metric tons. That was within expectations, but below last year's pace. Cumulative wheat exports are about 25% below last year's level. So that's just evidence of the considerable challenges when it comes to selling our wheat around the world. So those are just a few of the things. Again, I mentioned we'll have the crop condition report this afternoon, crop progress report, and then on Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central, we'll get the WASDE report. That'll be the next base of information for the market.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago. Let's focus on proteins.
Well, the livestock futures mixed in the cattle to start out this week, and actually a little bit better in the hog market. So hopefully we'll see if things can continue to climb for the hogs this week. In terms of looking at them one by one here, structurally still for the cattle markets, the tight supplies are bullish, friendly. Weekly slaughter last week, about 509,000 head. That was down from about 537-ish the previous time last year. Year-to-date slaughter's down about 1.45 million head, or down 8% lower than 2025. So again, just indicative structurally of the lack of quantity of cattle out there. Cash cattle prices remain firm, so that's a good thing. Feedlot and feeder cattle markets remain strong. And we've got the weather scenario that could add to the challenges on the production side in terms of the weight gain side. So we'll keep an eye on that if things change. One thing that we're keeping an eye on, though, that isn't necessarily friendly is that box beef demand has not necessarily matched the supply tightness. So, you know, it's struggling at the moment on the box beef demand side of the equation. I think there's some consumer pushback on prices. And then as for hogs, I guess working against it a bit is the hog supply. That remains a key bearish influence. Cash hog prices remain a bit under pressure, although maybe we're seeing a bit of a rosier start this week. We'll see how things play out. Pork cutout values are on the supportive side of the equation. They've shown some improvement, and that's obviously provided some support to the futures markets. That's a good thing. Better cutout movement suggests that maybe the end user demand may be absorbing some of the available supply out there. So that's a good thing for the market. More on the median side of the equation, export demand remains critical. So we still need to see, pretty consistent or if not improved export movement. That's going to help relieve some of the domestic supply pressure. And then the seasonal demand patterns are going to become important. You know, we're getting towards late summer. I hate to say it, but that late summer grilling demand and approaching fall buying patterns are going to be important for the pork demand. We'll see how things play out with that. We'll keep an eye on the input side of the equation also, with the corn and the corn prices in particular and soy meal prices, and see if they have any kind of major move that could also work its way into the cattle markets or into the livestock markets themselves too.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest again today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. He's online at myfuturesadvisor.com. myfuturesadvisor.com. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report, USDA's Brad Rippey.
As we look at our soybean condition numbers for the week ending August 9th, now there, unlike corn, we did see a just slight drop in overall condition, 62% good to excellent, down a point from last week, 10% very poor to poor. That is up 1 point from last week. And that puts this year's crop coming in a good bit lower than last year at this time when we were sitting at 68% good to excellent and 7% very poor to poor. We don't see the widespread degradation in conditions that we have seen for corn. But with that said, though, we are seeing some deterioration in the Western Corn Belt. And I'll point out the Dakotas, where North Dakota now 27% of the soybeans rated very poor to poor. South Dakota, 20%. Other than that, we're just at 10 to 11% very poor to poor in a handful of states, mostly in the Midwest. And that list does include Illinois, Michigan, Nebraska, and Wisconsin.
It's the Agribusiness Report.